Grande Mania! It's a podcast where we select a WrestleMania match
at random,
and then we talk about it. That's right, old wrestling. My name is Brad. Joining me this week, as we do every episode, is my brother Matt. What's going on, dude?
Hey, it's good to see your face and hear your voice. It's going very well. I'm happy they have stopped construction temporarily on our building. They're siding it, so we actually have time to record, but that shit could set up at any moment, and it'll just make me utterly pissed off. But in the meantime, I'm doing very well. I'm excited. It's a big football day for me, and I'm ready to talk about old wrestling.
Old wrestling. Just yes, right. This episode, huh?
I think you just pooped a little.
Yeah, I gotta check my pants. This episode, we actually do have old-ass wrestling. We got a very old match this week, Matt. Tell them what it is.
We got an old match. It is match number 31 from WrestleMania 3, March 29th, 1987 at the Pontiac Silverdome in Pontiac, Michigan. They'll say Detroit, too, a lot of times. In front of 93,173, a number I didn't even have to look up. Disputed number. Just want to say that. Disputed number. Man, WrestleMania 3, dude, maybe the biggest wrestling event in the history of wrestling. To this day, I still would say.
Would agree. Without WrestleMania 3, there's a lot of things we don't have. We're all grateful for what they were able to accomplish, even if the disputed attendance, as you said. Some have estimated closer to 88, 87,000 or something.
Yeah, oh darn, 88,000 instead. Oh, Jesus, man.
But they wanted to beat the Stones. They wanted to be the number one indoor attendance record holders at the time. So, no one's counting besides them. So, Are they really?
Yeah, you're right. It was the number one for a long time, too. I don't really remember what beat it, but it was the longest, not, I don't want to say, 20 years, but it held the record for a bit, man. And to have wrestling fans just from, I swear, we're from Michigan, and I'd always heard from people that we worked with, my brother was there, my uncle was there, I was there, which is plausible, because I think every single wrestling fan was, in the area, Michigan, all there was trying to get to this damn thing. There's, as far as I know, there was people outside the venue that couldn't get in as well, too. So, it was even bigger than that.
Yeah, you want to talk about the business being red hot. Look no further than the mid to late 80s. This is the pinnacle of it all. Obviously, WrestleMania 3, the big Hulk Hogan versus Andre the Giant for the main event for the world title. This is in the era of, believability, if you will, was still high. And so, when Hulk's the best, then you believe Hulk's the best, and it's how it works, And not everyone didn't have their little opinions on your little internets back then.
Bunch of fucking trolls. Yeah, this is what you got, and you were happy with it. And then this is what created memories and made everybody else want to be a wrestler or stay a wrestling fan. And man, this is a pretty big event. But we do not have the main event.
No.
We have, I don't even think I said what the actual match was.
Jesus Christ.
It's Jake the Snake Roberts. It's Jake the Snake Roberts with Alice Cooper. Yes, Alice Cooper of famed Rock and Roll Hall of Fame fame against the Honky Tonk Man with his manager, Jimmy Hart.
That's right. And you said it wasn't the main event, but it is pretty late on the card. It is one of the when it's dark out matches of WrestleMania 3.
When it's dark out, yeah.
Because the early matches, it's the Pontiac Silverdome, so the light shines in when the sun's out because this is like a bubble. But yeah, this is at night, so it's I thought it looked cooler at night. But it always had that same distinct daytime look during the day that you didn't see any other time in wrestling, was except for those early matches of WrestleMania 3, your King Kong Bundy against the Midgets time of the event.
Yeah, the Can-Am Connection match and the Billy Jack Haynes matches of the world. That's especially for WWF. They don't do a lot of daytime shows. Other promotions would do a ton of them. Down south and that was their big thing, right? But for WWF back at the time, it was pretty odd. So Jake, coming into this match, he was a heel for, well over a year, because he had debuted in, late 85, because he does have a match at WrestleMania 2, but he's definitely a heel there. And he had been a heel through 86, and I think the crowd was kind of starting to dig on it, people like Snakes, the guy can talk. I think it just kind of naturally sort of became a babyface, and it was this feud with the Honky Tonk Man that really turned the corner and like solidified him as being an actual babyface, which he would be for like the next, I don't know, 4 years, right? Yeah, through 91-ish.
Yeah.
It was a big babyface.
Yeah, SummerSlam 91-ish, there was the era when he went back to being a heel, which was a great heel, by the way. But
trust me, trust it was great.
Trust me.
I love that music too, dude.
Trust me.
Yeah, but this is 86, so this is what people were catching on that he's pretty cool. He was everyone's favorite wrestler in around 90, so this is kind of like the groundswell coming up. I'm glad we got this match because this match still... The damn participants are still talking about it in 2021. Are you aware?
Still. Very much so. Very, very, very much so. I'll give a story about that after we talk about why that is.
Yeah.
But, yeah... Hockey Talk Man here, he's pretty new. I don't think he'd been around for more than maybe 4 or 5 months, and I can't say that for certain, but I know he hasn't been in the WWF for very fucking long. Guy worked in Memphis for a long time, and he has this Elvis Presley impersonator gimmick kind of going, and he's very good at it. And he could talk too, man. There was that interview pre-match, and the dude rambles on a little bit at the end. They cut him off, but yeah. Man, it's hockey, man.
Yeah, I was going to mention that, made me laugh that they cut off his promo on the... His
promo.
He's still going on, everyone wants to see the Honky Tonk Man, it just fades out.
Yeah, then Gorilla's like, oh yeah, I don't want to see the Honky, I don't want to hear the Honky Tonk Man play.
You don't?
Yeah, they had started a little feud. I don't really know if there was more to it before this, but Jake the Snake had an interview segment called The Snake Pit, and his guests on a particular week were the Honky Tonk Man and Jimmy Hart, and Honky attacked Jake Roberts and hit him with the guitar in the back that Jake the Snake Roberts alleges was not a gimmicked guitar, an actual real, like, whatever you make guitars in so they don't break, heavy one, and it screwed his neck up and his back up for real. Excuse me. And that the Honky Tonk Man kind of took him out for real. Anyway, so that starts this. We'll get to that. Go ahead.
You got something. I was going to elaborate on that because there's a lot to that.
Sure.
So, it's, sure. I think the truth lies somewhere in between, right? Because if you listen to both sides of them talk about it, to this day, Honky will tell you that that was a gimmicked guitar. They took it and they sliced it with a knife and they cut it all up. They took the screws out of the thing, off the thing, and if you pushed on it, you said it would fall apart. Jake Roberts says it was not, if it was gimmicked, it wasn't gimmicked very much. But what the problem is, I think, is that the guitar was really nice and really heavy. So it didn't matter how much he gimmicked it when he fucking swung it as hard as he could at his head. So, yeah, sure, he tried to protect him, but it did not. And it
still fucked him
up. Yeah,
and
it fucked him up terribly. So Honky's kind of an asshole. We'll go on. We'll talk about it later. But anyway, that's all I wanted to talk about. I think the truth lies somewhere in between both people were saying.
You're probably right. You know. You're probably right. And I always felt like if Jake was so upset and so angry at him, thinking it was real, like, why would you continue to work the storyline with him and sell for the dude?
Yeah.
No, I get it. You kind of have to. The boss is watching. It's your storyline. But I don't know. Yeah, you also, like, know that you can go out there and have a match with this dude and make a whole lot of money. So you ain't that pissed off about it. Because he says that he's all fucked up and had all his addiction shit from all that. But anyway, and maybe that's also true, too. Again, we can talk about that in a minute. So anyway, that happens on the Snake Pit. And Jake gets injured on TV, and then also, like, he's hurt, so he can't wrestle. Then they do make a match for WrestleMania 3, and here we go. I have no idea how Alice Cooper got involved with Jake. I can only assume because he's from Detroit, he's from Michigan, that he's a local boy, and there's probably no one else on the card that you're going to put him with. He likes snakes, like, he owns them and shit, you know what I mean? Like, so there's probably nobody else that you can put him with.
Yeah, you know, there's the snake connection, I would assume. With, you know, he's cool, metal snakes, you know, and then, like, Jake the Snake has a snake, and they're trying to get him over as a babyface now, right? Because he just turned.
Mm-hmm.
So it makes sense.
Put him with Alice Cooper.
I mean, it's instant, you know, cheap pop, really. I mean, but also, Jake don't need that, but maybe he does. In 86, you don't know what his legacy is going to be at this point, you know? So,
yeah. And Honky's got his heater. Honky's got Jimmy Hart. So now you have somebody that Jake can have that can counteract whatever Jimmy Hart would do in the match. So, well, you know, obviously that kind of comes into fruition, right? So, yeah. I think that makes sense. But nonetheless, it just seemed like a perfect pairing, you know, Jake even wearing the black and silver tights to kind of match what Alice Cooper's looking like. I thought that was a nice little touch. Like, yeah, so anyway, we're at the match. They both have interviews before it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember much from Jake's, and I should because it's Jake Roberts, and it's fantastic.
Yeah, he doesn't say much. He just kind of says, like, you know, I'm going to get you in the ring and have my way with you. It's really the gist of it. And Alice Cooper says, this is my hometown, the hometown of metal. And that's really all. And
this is some of and then they're on the cart. They cut to them on the cart going to the ring. And I don't hear any entrance music.
Yeah, I don't. There might not have been any yet because not many everyone had it yet.
Are you sure, man? This is WrestleMania 3, early 87. Coco Beware had music.
Well, I mean, Honky like
Tonk Man's got music.
Yeah, but also those were borderline music gimmicks to begin with. Would you agree?
Yeah, but I don't know. I couldn't say like the Killer Bees had entrance music here, or if like the fucking, you know, Mr. Fuji did, or Bundy did, or I know Hillbilly Jim did, but you're right, had the music thing behind it already. So, maybe they just didn't have musics yet.
Yeah, I don't think it was still on the rise. I mean, I just, you know, Andre never had music, but
Andre never had music. Oh, by the way, the guy interviewing these guys, mean fucking Gene in his heyday. I even had to write his name down just because we don't get to talk about him very often on this show because we don't get a ton of the older matches, but Mean Gene's just the man.
Yeah, Mean Gene, that voice of Mean Gene Okerlund, he could narrate anything, and I'm interested. Yeah,
he's like wrestling's Morgan Freeman, you know what I mean? Let's have him talk about something, and you're already invested no matter what it is.
He's got the perfect voice for an era of TV that he came from, right? But that also carried over to forever, you know, because it's just that Mean Gene voice that I love and miss. But we have lots and lots of recorded memories. So,
my close personal longtime friend, Mean Gene Okerlund. Mean Gene then interviews Honky Tonk Man. Yeah, baby! Honky, surprisingly good interview, as we kind of touched on. I mean, it sounded a little scripty, a little bit, but I mean, he was
pretty
good.
They want to see the Honky Tonk Man sing. They want to see the Honky Tonk Man dance.
They want to see the Honky Tonk Man wrestle. And they want to hear Honky Tonk Mama. So I don't know what Honky Tonk Mama is.
So in that promo, like, he just filled, you know, 30 seconds of promo time by not actually saying anything except for they want to see the Honky Tonk Man a bunch of times. So,
and that's a lot of what his promos were probably for the next 3 years, too. Nonetheless, whatever.
No, I'm not saying it's wrong. Hey, I'm not saying it's bad. What I'm saying is it's smart and good. Like Colt Cabana used to always say, I wanted to get that Honky Tonk Man
Honky Tonk Man gimmick. Yeah, right? I remember they joked about, like, Fandango getting that gimmick. He's like, I'm good now, rest of my life. I got my Honky Tonk Man gimmick.
Yep, so it's so I was watching the match with my wife, and she even said, like, who's like the equivalent nowadays of like a guy with just like a joke gimmick like this? And I was like, I don't know. I don't think they really anybody's that over the top anymore, are they?
MJF? Not in WWE.
MJF.
Orange Cassidy.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah. Closest thing WWE has, I don't know, might be like a Happy Corbin.
That's true. Just like a ignorant, like, ridiculous character that everybody's supposed to hate, and it's not hard to do.
Yeah, Happy Corbin might be probably the best example, I think, of a current-day guy. You know, obviously, completely different, but also similar heat, you know what I mean? There's no redeeming qualities for Baron Corbin. He has never once ever given you any reason to cheer for him, which makes him maybe the best heel that company has ever had.
I know.
You from literally have nothing to cheer for him about, which is exactly what he should do.
And here's the thing. Even when he had something cool that I liked, he got rid of it.
He gets shit. Yeah, they stop it immediately. I'm loving the down in the slums, sad Baron Corbin trying to, like, fucking beg for money. Like, this is entertaining.
Yep.
And people caught on, and they're like, fuck that. 180, bitch. Yep. Here it is. Not, and I'm willing to bet 1,000% by design.
Yep. I want to have the stupidest thing, and it's just going to never end.
It's just so dumb. Anyway, but Honky Tonk Man, hey, it worked, and here he is. He's the greatest Intercontinental Champion of all time. That is yet to happen, so this is like moving into that kind of era. So like, it's that summer where shit starts bumping off for him because they know what they got in Jerry Lawler's cousin here. This is a real thing. Legit Jerry Lawler's cousin. So what is Honky Tonk Man or Honky Tonk Mama? I'm sorry. I don't know that song. I know the other Honky Tonk Man songs, but I don't know Honky Tonk Mama. And I'm looking forward to hearing that song on this podcast. And good luck on the hunt for that, because I've never heard it in my life.
Well, I hope so. I hope we can find it.
Spoiler.
Is that what's playing when he's coming out, though?
Yes.
You think? Because I don't know what that, because I couldn't tell. It definitely had honky sounding.
It's got to be Honky Tonk Mama playing, because I don't recognize the song and I don't know what Honky Tonk Mama is. It has to be the song bringing him out to the ring. Because it's not Hunka Hunka Honky Love. It's not the one before that, the one that we all kind of know and love.
Yeah, Cool Cocky Bad.
Cool, I'm cocky, I'm bad. It's definitely not that, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, anyhow. I thought that him as his gear was pretty tight. He's wearing the white with the gold. Looks super Elvis-y, which I thought was super awesome.
Yeah. He looks great here. He comes out and he's dancing. He's shaking his hips. He gets up on the ring apron and is shaking his hips, and Jake Roberts does not wait any longer and jumps.
It is on like Donkey Kong. Yeah, they are ready to go here, but I think that's probably by design, right? This is a pretty heated feud, and you've had a lot of other matches not stop right from the get, like this one. So also, we didn't mention they come out on the carts, did we? This is WrestleMania 3. So this is Cartomania.
You did. It's okay. The next thing we see, they're out on the carts.
Thanks, buddy. Yeah, Jake jumps Honky Tonk Man. They are into it, man. They're just, it's a lot of punching, clotheslining, and bump and feed, which is fine. That's what they were in that time. But there's, you know, I don't know.
That's about
good knee lift that Jake always does. His beautiful, like, knee lift. Honky takes a powder, like, more than one time. Because they'll fight outside the ring quite a few times in this match. Especially right away early on.
Yeah, well, yeah. He throws him in the ring and he rips off his... Yeah, he's ripping off the Elvis suit outside of the ring. Even Jesse the Body says he didn't even get a chance to take off his Elvis suit.
Elvis gear, yeah. That's true. Hey, yeah, while you bring up the Body, we do get Jesse Ventura and Gorilla Monsoon calling this match, and they are on fire. They are perfect. They are really perfectly talking about the snake and the gimmick, as well as calling the reaction in the ring and being logical, like talking about what's legal and what's illegal, and you know, even Gorilla agreeing with Jesse at one time that Alice Cooper is not allowed to get involved, and it was a man. That might be my favorite part of this fucking match, listening to those two fellas. Still funny. They were still, you know, not super serious. They weren't just there to call the ring action, you know, like it was, man, this is why they were the best. That's the best.
They did the first six WrestleManias, so, you know, we had a large sample size of these two calling WrestleManias, and so it does speak to our nostalgia as well, but they do a great job.
Yeah, I agree with that. Do you know who the referee is for this match?
See, I don't know the guy's name. He's the guy that is loud.
One, two, three. That guy.
He's the Iron Mike Sharp of referees.
His name is Jack Kruger, if I remember correctly. Remember, we had him before and we talked about him.
We already had this conversation.
Former wrestler turned referee. There's actually, if you Google him, you can find pictures of him as a ref. He had a big, thick mustache, big barrel-chested guy. But anyway, yeah, turned referee because he's not very tall, so he kind of made the wrestlers look bigger than they were. That worked out very well. But yeah, during the match, Honky takes a powder a couple times. Which is, you know, what the chicken shit heel should do. Should run away from your baby face who's on fire. I want to bring up that the crowd, super into this.
Yeah.
Even still, this late in the card. Just on fire.
Agree. And considering that, dare I say, nothing happens in this match? Wrestling-wise?
Really nothing.
You mentioned it from the top that it's a lot of, like, punching, kicking, bump and feed, like you said. Like, it's just a lot of punching and kicking. Even as I was rewatching, I'm thinking, like... All right, there was a punch, and he punched him.
Weapon to the turnbuckle, you know, kicks, punches.
He does the rocking chair thing on the ropes, where he's holding on the ropes and he's punching them.
But that's a classic Honky thing, too.
Yeah, exactly. So it's just like, okay.
I do like at one point they show the bag and the snakes moving in the bag. I thought that was pretty cool.
When he's calling for the DDT, by the way. So like it was almost
it's almost like the snake knew, buddy. Damien the Snake knew, which is whatever Damien that day, because, you know, a different snake every city, just saying. Not always.
Honky jumped out on that one. He didn't get DDT.
Slipped out of it. Yep. Hockey does get some pretty good offense in, though, too. He's kind of beating the shit out of Jake for a good portion later on when, outside of the ring, because that's when you see Alice Cooper's trying to, like, kind of help pull Jake up and get him into the ring, and that's when they, like I was saying, when Body and Gorilla kind of mentioned that he shouldn't be helping.
There's kind of a spot there where he's trying to, right, when he's trying to help him out. Yeah, I remember now, where he tripped, he kind of trips over the stairs and then ends up into the guardrail, but the guardrail is lower because it's WrestleMania 3 and they got that weird elevated ring.
Yeah, it's not a riser, yeah.
It looked a little like he tripped and fell and landed on it, but it also is wrestling, so he probably didn't.
Yeah. So, yeah, exactly. Either way, they made it look good then, I guess, yeah. I wrote down the words, same tailor. Doesn't Jesse make a reference to somebody having the same tailor as Honky or something, or as Alice Cooper?
Alice Cooper, he goes, I think he goes to the same tailor you do.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Just that fucking screwing with each other during the match thing. But then he said, oh my God.
But then Gorilla said a curious line after. He said, I think he goes to the, he got it from the same closet Adrian come out of or something.
I don't know. Maybe, man, I vaguely remember.
Anyway, it was a weird reference in the middle of the match that I caught.
Yeah, it was a weird reference. I like that Honky Tonk Man keeps dancing, by the way. I think that was pretty funny, Honky Tonk Man. Because he's got it. Everybody's there to see the Honky Tonk Man dance.
That's right. That's what they're here for.
So at one point, Jimmy Hart grabs... Well, he never does hit the DDT, or does he go? He goes for it that one time where he showed the snake, but I think Honky slips out, right? But he never goes back to it, does he?
I'm not really sure what he's doing when Jimmy Hart jumps in the ring and grabs his leg, but he might be setting up for the DDT again.
There. Maybe, or the clothesline or something, ready to grab the arm or something for it. Because, right. Yeah, Jimmy Hart grabs Jake's legs, which lets Honky Tonk Man roll Jake the Snake up. And Honky Tonk Man pins Jake the Snake Roberts, a heel win at WrestleMania 3 at 7 minutes and 4 seconds.
Yeah, you forgot to mention that he held the top rope for leverage and cheated.
He did hold the rope. He did hold the top rope. That's against the rules. You can't do that. But the ref didn't see it, so if it's not illegal if they don't see it, Brett.
Yeah, so Jake loses that Mania again. I mean, that's like, he must not have a very good record.
As a babyface, probably not great.
He lost at 6.
He wins at 2, lose at 3, 4. I don't fucking know. Loses at 8.
Yeah.
Wins at 7.
Oh, well then, yeah. That's better than I thought.
I don't know about 5 and 4. One's against DiBiase.
Isn't 5 against Andre?
Oh, yeah, 5's against Andre, and it's like, I think it's against, he wins technically by DQ, maybe. Anyway.
Count out.
That's like the match, but then a bunch of shit happens after the match. You see that Alice Cooper has the guitar that Honky Tonk Man brought to the ring. Well, he gives the guitar to Jake, and Jake swings for the fences. That he's like, if he does, maybe now, that was the point when I'm watching this going, okay, maybe Jake really is pissed. Match is over, he did his job, my revenge time, and if he doesn't move in time for this, I don't care. And he swings guitar like it's a baseball bat, and the motherfucking thing shatters.
It explodes.
And it's loud.
He swung it as hard as he possibly could. And he swung it as hard as he possibly could.
I mean, you know what he's thinking? He's like, well, Honky's probably supposed to move. So Honky's like, he's like, well, he's going to move, but if he misses it and I catch him, oh, well, he didn't move in time. Not my fault. But yeah, he wiped him out. Then Honky Tonk Man runs away. He's running down the aisleway. Meanwhile, Jimmy Hart has climbed into the ring, and Jimmy Hart is now kind of stuck between Alice Cooper, and he can't leave because Jake's by the entryway, and Alice is getting the snake out of the bag because Jake's grabbed Jimmy Hart, and he's got him like a little full Nelson deal, and then we get the crowd pop because the snake comes out, and then you see all the camera flashes, man.
Oh, yeah. And they kind of held it up and moved around. So
camera flashes. Yeah, got to get him in People Magazine that week. You know what I mean? Get on Entertainment Tonight. Excuse me. And then, Damian has his way with Jimmy Hart till the Honky Tonk Man can kind of rescue Jimmy and they go running away. And then we get kind of one of the iconic poses of WrestleMania where Jake's standing in the ring and he's pointing at the camera kind of like
directly into the hard camera.
Like,
yep.
His body is facing towards like to the left. But his head, and he's pointing at the camera. That is a shot you see, because the crowd behind him is kind of blurry, but it looks huge. It's like one of those iconic shots when they talk about the history of WrestleMania. That always ends up in, like, the collage or montage, right?
Correct, yep. It's as soon as it came on, like, I kind of, ooh, there it is.
Yeah, there's that scene. There it is. Yep, there it is. So, I mean, you know, like, that's,
My favorite part then is at the very end of the segment when Gorilla and Jesse start to sewer the guests by saying how weak he looks. He has, hey, he didn't have very impressive arms, did he, Jess?
Yeah, Jesse goes, it does seem like Alice Cooper's been in the gym working on his arms too much, and Gorilla can't even stand up for the guy. You know, he's got to be like, nah, yeah.
Didn't have very impressive arms, he says.
Pretty funny. Sunken chest. And then they just stopped talking and moved on.
You don't see him saying that shit about Bad Bunny when he's on there.
No, not at all.
Bad Bunny's the greatest thing we've ever seen when he's a guest. Alice Cooper.
Yeah, exactly. No shit, yeah.
He's just giving their honest opinions. You know? Yeah. It just shows, you know, and, different era.
Yeah, different era. It's over. You're going to sell him. He ain't working a match. Anyway, your turn to rate this motherfucker?
Yeah, if we're jumping right into the rating, I'm going to give it 1 HBK, 1.5 HBK. Yeah, the match was really boring. I thought I missed something because I couldn't remember anything from it, so I wanted to rewatch it. Only to then also have my eyes glaze over almost immediately by the boringness of this match. There's a time in this match where Honky is just, like, walking around for a while. And he kind of,
and it's still 7 minutes long.
Yeah, and I was like, this is not good. There are better wrestling matches. We just came off of Savage Steamboat, and now this is what we're watching. This is
the follow up. Yeah,
I'm not saying it has to be. They all got to be 5 stars, but I was just bored by it, and the finish sucked because I wanted to see Jake win, and he didn't. So now, of course, it sets up a summer of run all over the world of them two feuding with each other. You know, but the match itself just sucked, and the ending sucked, and then it's a 1.5 because it was at WrestleMania 3 and it has Jake, who got a decent promo, I guess, and I didn't. There's other things I hate more. That's what I'll say. How about that? 1.5.
So you're doing 1.5 or 1?
What did I say?
I'm going 1 initially, then 1 HBK.
Okay.
I initially was like, oh man, this is like a 2.5. Like, I'm entertained for 7 minutes. Like, these are two legends in a giant venue, and, like, I can get behind this. I know what the feud led to it and what happened after, and, like, yeah, here we go. And then I watched the first time, and if we would have recorded a week ago, I probably would have given it a 2.5, but I watched it today, and it's not a 2.5. It's probably a 1.5. It's kind of almost a 2 to me. It's the era of matches, man. It's just, I love that. It doesn't have to be about all the action in the ring, because the story was pretty great, too, and you have Alice Cooper out there, and you have Gorilla and Body who give it a half for bump for me. So, like, I'm so close to giving it a 2. I'm going to do 1.5 HBKs, but it's really close to a 2 for me. I just want to be honest.
Yeah, I get it. And WrestleMania 3 itself is a pretty good event.
There's worse matches on WrestleMania 3 than this one, too, let me tell you. Go watch Hercules and Billy Jack Haynes, or correct. Go watch fucking Coco Beware and Butch Reed. Like, come on, bud.
This is true, but this is still also not a very good match. It has good characters. It has a great story. It really does.
Good interviews.
And good interviews. It's all that, but that's what's giving it a 1, because otherwise it's goddamn okay. 0.
Sure. All right. Hey, let's take a minute here. So, yeah, these dudes hate each other still.
Yeah, hate each other to this day. Yeah, there's if you go to YouTube.com, type in Honky Tonk Man versus Jake the Snake, you will find
out. Who calls it YouTube.com? Because I don't know what the fuck YouTube is.
You go to
www.youtube.com/honkyhatesjake.
And there's a ton. So here's the thing, right? Honky is known for having his face all over YouTube for all of his interviews, right? He's on there a lot. And Honky will say whatever he wants to say, and he'll say, you know, whether it's truthful or not. A lot of times you're like, yeah, it probably is the truth, but you kind of got to read through some of his bullshit, because he's a, you know, carny motherfucker, like all old wrestlers.
I think I kept him from getting into the Hall of Fame for a lot of years, too.
Yeah.
He didn't go in until, like, what, 2-3 years ago? It was, like, right. Pandemic Mania, or, like, it was the one where Bret Hart got fucking taken out by a fan. Like, it took a while, I'm just saying. And this match was 1987, you know?
Yeah, and everyone knows the Honky Tonk Man, so there's a kind of a 2-foot putt to put him in the Hall of Fame as a character, but when the man, Wayne Ferris, is kind of a prick, it's tough. So, anyway, I'm happy he's in there, because, like, time heals all wounds and shit, but, like, you know, it's the Honky Tonk
Man. The character forever. I mean, it's not like he had just this run with them. Like, he was there from like 86 through 90. He was in that Undertaker's debut. He's in that fucking match. And then, like, he comes back in, like, again in, like, 96 Rumble? 90, mm-hmm. No, 98 Rumble. But before that, he's managing Billy Gunn as Rockabilly, right? He's in the 2001 Rumble.
Yep. He's around a lot.
It's not like, he had a run in WCW. Like, he was not, like, just a flash in the pan here either.
1997, Honky Tonk Man was all over Raw. He was on an on-screen personality. He was doing fucking commentary. He was doing interviews. He was doing shit.
They made our figure.
Yeah.
I have it.
So, I mean, you know, his run in the ring was over, but the man didn't go away. I don't know. Does anybody else hate hockey?
Can you hear him pounding?
Oh, a little.
Anyway, you might hear some now. Does anybody else hate hockey?
Yeah, I mean,
oh, I'm like, sure a whole bunch of people knowingly do. Nothing that I can, nothing I know about on the top of my head. No, I know there are people that have interviewed him for podcasts, and they always kind of come out of it saying that he's not the most like kind of friendly dude.
Yeah, he feels slimy. So anyway, slimy, dude. I hope he listens.
Jake, on the other hand, yeah, I hope Jake. He listens. Jake, on the other hand, I met Jake. I got the luxury of meeting Jake a couple this past summer. There was a meet and greet, and I have a coworker that was going to go, and he. He's a fan of a lot of the old school stuff. He's an older fella, and he was going to talk to him. He was like, I want to talk to Jake and tell him how much I like him, and I want to tell him how much I like his matches. And he rattled off like two or three names, and one of them was the Honky Tonk Man. And I said, don't do that. I said, you talk about the other two. I don't remember even who they were. It doesn't matter. And I was like, but don't bring up Honky. Don't get him in a shitty mood. They're not friends. I brought up a little clip on YouTube in that moment on YouTube.com. And, like, I was like, here's the proof, bud. Like, don't bring him Honky. And he said he didn't when I talked to him later. I was like, good call. But, yeah, Jake says that guitar shot way back in the snake pit fucked his neck up.
Yeah.
Which he then didn't get fixed, which caused pain, which made him take painkillers, which then got him addicted to drugs and almost killed him. Yeah. So he blames Honky on all that shit.
Yeah, which, granted, now Honky didn't fucking put the drugs in Jake's system. Jake did. But Honky shouldn't have fucking... should have known better that what he was doing was dangerous. At the same time, yeah, Jake, you know, it's 1986, man. People don't deal with shit the right way in 1986. People don't really deal with shit the correct way in 2001 either. You know, people are just trying to do their best out here. So you can say, like, Jake could have did this, Jake should have did that, like, could have, like, you know, wouldn't work with him. But it's not that easy, man. When you're at the top of the world making money and all of a sudden you're in a program with a guy that just tried to, like, really hurt you, like, you just got to kind of fucking do it. At least you get to fight him in the ring every night. You could probably, you know, hit him a few times.
Take a shot here and there.
Yeah.
But even if that's the case, if it's that fucking bad, why don't you go and be like, this dude fucked me up? And, like, you know, like, I don't know. It ain't his fault you're a drug addict.
No, it is not. It is, and he's been through a lot. Honky... But the thing is like, when you look at what Honky says, and he's like, he was already fucked up, and he was already doing this and that as it was, and just because I hit him with a guitar does not make a difference that this fucking loser was any different before, during, or after when my encounters with him.
He's like, yeah, just I looking guess. For an excuse type thing.
Looking for an excuse to blame everybody else. Yeah.
But I think that, for what it's worth on this, same thing with the original guitar shot, I think there's a little truth to both.
Yeah, somewhere in the middle.
I think, and there's a lot we probably don't even know that shit has happened backstage that they just won't say or they've forgotten about. There's probably a ton of shit, you know what I mean? And they just don't like each other, and sometimes that happens. There are people in this world that I don't like because I worked with them, and they are pieces of shit too. It's just that same type of thing. I don't think I made any of them a drug addict, nor did they make me one, or anything of that nature. But come on, I get it. In the context of, you know, fucking late 80s wrestling where there's mounds and mounds of cocaine, you can't blame one dude hitting you with an already gimmick guitar and blaming the cocaine that was already there on the dude that hit you. Fuck that. That ain't what it is. I don't know.
Yeah.
And for what it's worth, Jake ain't a fucking perfect human being either. He's a slimy motherfucker as well. Now he's clean and sober, and he has been for a while. And he was actually very nice when I met him. And I don't say actually, I expected him to be, you know. But he'll admit it, he ain't a perfect human being either, so whatever. I've never met the Honky Tonk Man, so we'll have to see how it goes after I meet him. Maybe he's a piece of shit in person, and I'll be pro-Jake at that point.
Yeah, same. I don't know. Maybe. But, anyway, yeah, so that's that story. But they were even like, Honky Tonk Man's fucking tweeting about it in 2021. So,
still, I mean, still. But they also know that people listen to it and people dig into the controversy, right. You know? Jake's relevant. Jake's on AEW TV, you know, from time to time. So Honky's it's a not. Thing. Hey, Honky's not, so you got to stay relevant. Hey, we should pick a match for next time, buddy.
I love that idea.
While we're getting our stuff ready, we'd like to have you go over to Twitter and find us on Randomania Podcast. Brad's taken over that account, and he promises to do the hell of a lot more with it than I ever did. He's going to follow some fan accounts, some user accounts, all kinds of shit, and give it a follow. On Instagram, Randomania Podcast. Trying to stay active on there as much as I can. I've abandoned my wrestling themes idea. I don't know what to do next. If you got any ideas, folks, give us a comment on any Instagram post or jump over to Facebook and let us know there at Randomania Podcast. All right. We're going to pick a number between 0 and 372 because there are 372 matches on the main cards of WrestleMania. If we get 0, we pick whatever the fuck we want. Are you ready?
I am ready.
42.
Oh, more old wrestling. 42. Is Hulk Hogan versus Andre the Giant from WrestleMania 4.
Wow.
The rematch.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a tournament match, but it ain't any old tournament match. This is Hulk Hogan versus Andre the Giant. The rematch.
Have we had any babyface run Hogan matches? We got the 18 match with Rock. Oh, we had the tag match from 9. I barely count that. This is like prime day Hulk Hogan, 88. Top of the world, making lots of money, doing lots of cocaine. No way, that was, yeah, so probably that too. Probably, oh, man, Andre, tail end.
Yeah, it ties in. We had a lot of WrestleMania 4 matches.
Tournament matches.
Already, so we've explained the Hebner double turn, or the twin magic, or whatever it is, that directly affects this match.
Yeah, this match is a little different than all those other tournament matches, too, and we'll explain that on the next episode. This is a big one.
Yeah, it's a big one, because it really is a big one. All right, yeah. All right, man.
I'm excited for fucking that.
Fucking cool, but as far...
We're going to get all these tournament matches from 4 knocked out, so we never have to talk about any of them ever again.
Most people say it's their least favorite WrestleMania, but it was my most watched WrestleMania growing up, so it's still one of my faves. I don't care what anybody says. I love a good tournament. But as far as for this episode, it is over.
Over.
This shit is over.
Over.
It's fucking over. And I want to congratulate the Honky Tonk Man.
Oh, it took him a second. I thought he forgot. Here we go.
I'm winning your match. Albeit underhandedly. You had your fucking manager interfere and you cheated by holding the ropes. That sucks. But, hey, what can you say?
Gotta get to the pay window somehow.
That's right. You don't win looking at the lights or whatever. I don't know. I made that up. You don't get paid. I don't know. You do get paid. Anyway. I want to congratulate the Honky Tonk Man on winning the match.
I hate you so much. Jake the Snake Roberts. You're fired!